Greetings, friends, family, and partners. You're listening to the podcast, Choices We Believe, and my name is Joe Watson. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about something that lots of people try to do it. Every religion on the planet has this one thing that they're trying to do, and that's to be good enough to get to heaven. So today we're talking about living perfectly. Being perfect, oh my goodness. Like I said, all the religions all over the world practice whatever their religion teaches them to do in order to be perfect. They work hard. They work their way to heaven. The unfortunate thing is, what makes Christianity different is our Lord lived the life for us, and all we do is accept it. Let's go back and start with the idea of living perfect. You see, the other religions show you how to be perfect by externally correcting mistakes, by working it out yourself. And our Lord Jesus Christ does this for us. And He generates within us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, a desire to live better, to live with excellence. And by His grace, He shows us how to live more perfect accidentally than we ever could do in our own strength doing it on purpose. So let's go back and start the beginning of this and see where the idea came from. It was in the Old Testament, in the days of the Israelites. And let's go back to Deuteronomy. And start with chapter 18, going to look in verse 9 and give a little bit of history behind the statement so that we don't get confused and see what God's talking about. So Deuteronomy 18:9 starts with, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations that they just disposed. There shall be not found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire." No burning your kids, folks. "Or that uses divination, or is an observer of times, an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." So God's driving out all those people who do all of the stuff wrong. Then He makes a statement, "Thou shalt be perfect as the Lord thy God." God was telling Israel not to become like those people they're getting rid of, that they were uprooting in the land. So let's look at something. The word perfect. Now the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word that was translated to perfect is taomim. What does it mean? What is that? You know, let's get an idea in our mind. Taomim means entire, literally, figuratively, morally. It talks about integrity, truth, complete, full, sincerity, sound, without spot, undefiled, uprightly, and whole. Something that's not there is it doesn't not say sinless. It talks about being complete, being sound, not the sound you hear, but, you know, solid, without defect, undefiled, whole. Whole and complete go hand in hand. So that was the Old Testament, and God's telling them, you know, be like me, be sound, be whole, be complete. Don't defile yourself. want to get to the New Testament and see, because Jesus Christ said something real similar. He told us to be a lot like that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and start in verse 46. Matthew 5:46 says, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? Or if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so?" And then here's the statement that he makes, Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So he's comparing us to the Father in heaven. We know that the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek word is teleos. Again, it talks about being complete. And various applications of labor, growth, mental, moral character, completeness, a full age. It's a little bit different than the Hebrew word, but it's talking again about being complete. Full age. Talking about your moral character. But the motivation that he's talking about is love. He's coming at us with the idea of love. In order to better understand, we must back up and glean an understanding of how we are like God and our makeup. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And you live in a body. The fleshly body. That's a lot like God. We were made in His image, right? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son is our example, spirit, soul, and body. When you are born again, our spirit is made alive to God and perfected. Look in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it gives us this idea. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When you said yes to Jesus, did your body get perfected? Mine didn't. I'm still getting old. Older, anyway. I'm getting new pains and new challenges in my physical body, my appearance. My soul, it needs help too. It needs to be retrained. It didn't automatically become new. So what's he talking about? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, a new has come. What became new is my spirit. My spirit was dead and separated from God. When I was born again, I became alive, and I was new to God. God was new to me. There was a connection made. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Our flesh is defiled and will never stand before God. This body I'm living in has to die. But wait, don't go away yet. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." What did the Holy Spirit seal? Your spirit, which now cannot be tainted by sin is sealed by the Holy Ghost. So therefore, our body is going to die. Our spirit is already perfected in Christ by the seal of the Holy Spirit. So what do we have to do? What's left over? We got something in the middle, right? Romans 12:2 gives us a hint about this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's talking about the will of God. So that means our mind has to be trained. That's part of our soul. Our minds are part of the soul. Our soul is made up of, have you ever heard somebody say your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions? Perhaps you've heard that, but I'd like to add two things to it, your imagination and your intellect. Without an imagination, you can't be creative. All of your creativity comes through imagination. You have to imagine it. So being like God, who is creative, means that you have an imagination and it's just like God's to be created. Your intellect, your intelligence. You don't check out your brain when you become born again. You continue to grow it. And that's why we're admonished in Romans 12:2, to not be conformed to this world, but transform our minds through the renewal, through being part of what God's doing. But these are what make up the core of our soul, of our beings. And sometimes it's called the heart. It's where our belief system resides. And the issues of life come from it. Jesus told us in Matthew 15:17, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles a person. So the very bottom core of your soul, where your belief system resides, is called the heart here. And out of that heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Yeah, deep in our souls is where our belief system resides, and from there comes those issues that defile us. Therefore, that is also where we must train our thinking to be like God's thoughts or perfect thoughts. We do not have enough strength in ourselves to live perfectly, but through the Holy Spirit, He gives us power to hold on to the grace of God to live godliness. Grace. Now, let's look at this word here. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. People get this one messed up too from time to time. So I spent the effort, the time, the research grace. And somebody will tell you that grace is, God's unmerited favor. And I would agree that that's part of it, but that's not complete. So I worked and tried to find what else grace might mean. And I came up with what I call a working definition. It's not from academia. You could get professors that said, no, that's not worded properly, but it's a working definition for me, and I use it, and it works for me. So my definition for grace is God's unmerited favor working in my life for His strength, capacity, and ability that produces a difference in me. His difference is through His grace, and it works in me. If it were possible through human effort to live perfectly, then the Pharisees would have done it. If they did everything they could, humanly possible, to live perfect. Unfortunately, those who believed the closest to what was right in the scripture didn't recognize their Messiah. The Pharisees were so close and still so far away. Being religious and obeying rules won't make us perfect, but only more bitter towards those who don't even try. You see, we all make our choice, being complete in Him with a relationship or focusing on the rules. The relationship works. The love of God works. Matthew 5:48 says, "You therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," which means complete, mature, a full age, not babes needing milk. What does that mean? How are we made complete or perfected? Let's explore it. Hebrews 10:14 gives us a hint. "For by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." What does that mean? Christ has perfected us who are being sanctified. Let's look at this. This is a bit closer. Remembering sanctified, we want to find out what we're doing there, being sanctified. Romans 5:17 says, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace we just defined and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, sanctified." He's making me just like I never sinned. He's making me clean. He, Jesus Christ, did what I couldn't do so that I could take on what He did. So we define sanctified, now we got grace and righteousness, right standing with God. So He's making me have the free gift of a right standing with God, filled with abundance of grace, not just a little grace, but abundance of grace, so that I might reign in life. And if you want to live perfect, you take this one and you reign in life. That means you walk with authority. You walk in the love of God, knowing that you and He have a relationship and you can conduct your life accordingly. You'll live better accidentally than you ever did on purpose. Those of us who have received Christ by faith are perfected to God, and all of our sins are wiped out as if they never happened. We are complete, we're made mature, and sanctified to God. As we live in the perfecting given to us through faith in Jesus, our thinking and deeds become more Christ-like, closer to sinless. It's about our attitude, which motivates us to walk in God's love, tempering our thoughts and actions, empowering our choices to be God-like. In this way, we live better again. We just live better accidentally than we did on purpose. So I practice being led by the Spirit, which means I have to know His voice. How do I do that? I know His voice by reading the Word of God, praying and listening. In your quiet time, make sure you spend some time praying real hard. Say all you got to say, and then be quiet and listen. Something is coming your way. He never stops trying to communicate with you, whether it's in the Spirit, that still small voice, through the scripture that you're reading that pops out in you, through other people who want to give you an encouraging word and try to hold you up and tell you something that they feel God wants to communicate to you. When I do hear, it's always awesome. It's always inspiring. It's always revelatory. Jesus holds me up through the Holy Spirit, guides my life, helps me decide when there's big decisions, protects me from the unfortunate accidents, the unseen disasters that are all around me. makes a difference in my life. I live better because of Jesus than I ever could just trying to keep the rules. Thank you for listening. My name is Joe Watson, and this is Choices We Believe.